Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the show, guys. This is Stacking Pennies. I'm Corley Joe. We're going to break down all things Texas. Buckle up. It's going to be a big show.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. Corley the Joy here alongside Ryan Flores, front tire changer of Ryan Blaney's Ford Mustang.
Hey dude.
Hey, big week for you this week.
Oh, I'm racing Bowman Gray Stadium.
Yeah. Tell the fellas.
Yeah, Hayes Jewelers 200. Gonna go drive the Hill, David Hill, the Hillbilly Motorsports car. I went up the hills last week. Man, I forgot how many races they've won.
They've won a lot of races.
They won one with you.
Yep.
You won a big race Hot in Atlanta. Atlanta with them.
Yep. So that was back when people thought I was good.
I feel like that was a big part of your career because you had just crashed your car. You were coming back from a pelvic injury.
Oh, it sucked. Fell asleep driving. Don't recommend that for anybody.
You about died.
Almost did.
About died.
Came back in like the Phoenix, like Carlos Sainz.
They beat Tim Brown, T-I-M-B-R-O-W-N, the Rocket. As he would call himself on the Madhouse show. And I remember it was like a photo finish the line. You were such a smart ass 16-year-old. You like pointed the checkered flag at him and like did a burnout around him.
No, he pulled to the front stretch because he thought he won, right? Because it was like wheel to wheel.
Yeah.
So they handed me the flag and I just turned and we were window to window and I was like,
he pointed at him and did a burnout.
And I wonder why he didn't like me for like a decade. Couldn't really understand that. Yeah. But good luck, man.
Shocker.
That Madhouse is a special place. Bowman Gray is pretty cool.
You gonna come?
I'll be in Talladega.
Oh, okay. You got a Stack and Pennies show in Talladega?
We are doing Stack and Pennies. I don't know who I'm going to do with. I'll be up there doing a monologue like I'm Stephen Colbert.
I'll call in from the race car.
Hey, man. How's practice going?
Yeah. How was your weekend?
How's my weekend? I flew down to Dallas on Wednesday.
Dude. You were gone all week.
A lot of Schluter stuff. They had their sales meeting with about 400 people, the directors and all the brass. Even Mark and Udo Schluter flew over from Germany to partake in this little shindig at Choctaw Casino in Oklahoma.
You're in Oklahoma?
Yeah. Flew into Dallas-Fort Worth, drove an hour and 45 minutes to the casino.
How was that drive? Seeing cool?
Yeah, I mean, Texas is kind of like Kansas where you can watch a dog run away for 3 days. So there's not much going on.
Little tumbleweed.
So I
like the Schluter car.
It looked pretty cool.
Big fan of the paint scheme. So, it's got the number is solid
separate,
white.
Yep. No lines through it. Now, the only thing that could take the thing to the next level, so Chase qualified right behind me. So we were comparing oranges, Sparks and I, before the race. And our orange is a little dull. It doesn't quite match the Pantone of Schluter. The orange on the Hooters car is like a metallic flake looking, and it looks pimp.
I like the fluorescent orange.
I like the fluorescent orange too, but that doesn't match. That would be a little bit off brand.
Correct,
That orange with on the Hooters car, if you get close, and that thing looks freaking sporty, bud. Yeah. So I would love to see that little extra touch on the Schluter car, but did look good, and it was, I don't know, like moderately fast. Very fast relative to my rental car at the racetrack. Moderately fast compared to the other 40 cars at racetrack. We were about, I think we unloaded 23rd, qualified 23rd, and finished 22nd. But it took a long way and a lot of ups and downs to get to that point.
You have no idea.
Caught pit road on fire.
Yeah, you dude.
Missed a couple wrecks. It was, I don't even want to say a rebound because last year we could run 15th to 18th with our eyes closed at the end of the year. And we just had a hard time over the last 4 or 5 weeks to even put a complete race together with things going wrong or getting banged up or getting crashed or not having good driving cars. And we were in a good spot. I don't want to get to the end yet. We can break that down in a minute, but they told me I caught pit road on fire. I did not know this.
Oh, I watched it.
Start cussing at me when I get to the studio. So, what?
I didn't cuss at you.
This is during green flag.
I was just telling you that you didn't understand what happened, like the shit storm you caused. You pit. It's a green flag stop, and it's like, there's fire. Me right there in front of you. So you, we're in pit stall 4, pit stall 5 is blocked out, 6 is the 54, you're in 7.
Mm-hmm.
7 car and 7.
Yep, just feels right.
You guys do, so green flag stop, you're leaving your pit stall. As you leave, your fuel head obviously is stuck open. So it dumps, I don't know. Just a
couple gallons.
Just a line, probably not even. Okay. But it's a line that kind of goes out and almost through our pit box. And as Blaney pull, like right as you pull out, we pull in. And right when he hits the brakes, he goes through that line and just starts death sliding. So he missed the mark by like 4 or 5 feet just because he slid through the gas. But right when he did it, it lit everything on fire.
Mm.
And then so we get done with a pit stop.
That's a pretty large fire.
And I look up and I'm like, it's a metaphor for my life. Corey just dumps some gas, starts it on fire, and drives away. And I got to sit here and deal with it.
That's bull.
So there I am.
No.
There it is,
because
right there.
There's only one person in this conversation that's tried to light one of us on fire, and it's you. And you were almost successful. You burnt my eyebrows off.
Here's the difference. You and me, Brian McReynolds and George, might be the only ones that know about me lighting you on fire. The whole state of Texas watched you do this, okay? So mine is going to stand up in a court.
And everybody watching on Fox.
But I wasn't real worried about the fire because it's going to go out. It looks a little bit more dramatic than it is. But the fact that he hit the gas, like right when he hit the brakes is when he was to that line of gas and it picked up speed and he slid by me. That's what I was more upset about because it cost a half second. But the funny part is after this, Braxton Brandon, the Jackman of the 54, they're out there they're getting ready to pit, right? Yeah. And that guy's out there trying to put it out. See Braxton, he's like, get back. Yeah. It'll burn out.
Yeah, we're
coming. So that's kind of how comfortable you get with fire because you know, like, okay, it's just gas. It's going to burn out. But if that guy sprays the pit box, then it makes it slick. So he's like, it's fine because it's going to evaporate it and make the gas not slick. So you kind of let it burn out as long as it's not like somebody's on fire. And then they come in and, man, we'll cover that in Pit Boats and Woes. But there was another dramatic turn of events. We'll get there later in the show.
So we were right there, 23rd, 25th. Decent car. It was super hard to pass, dude. Really aero tight. And you watch the Xfinity race. Amazing ending that we're going to break down at the end of the show as well, with Sam Mayer getting that win over about, I don't know, 2 inches, or Todd Gordon's math, 7 feet, over Ryan Sieg. We'll break that down later. But those cars you can manipulate, like Eric was talking about. You can move around, you can put it on their door, you can put it on somebody's left for a quarter, and have some options. These cars, man, it's just defense and 3-lane blocks the entire day. If somebody has a run on you, you just throw a haymaker block, and if they dump you, then we saw that a couple instances with the 41 spinning out the 12, the 8 spinning out the 77, a couple other guys. I think Bubba spun out the 14, maybe he talks about later in the show. That's it. If you chop the wrong guy and it's egregious enough where I feel like he's going to wreck you, you just wreck him. And that's it's hard to like get your brain to race that way, because it's not like it doesn't seem correct to just throw that much of a haymaker block. But that's what this car requires you to do.
The finish for the Xfinity race. Eric was in here last week too, talking about it. Right, how the Xfinity cars drive compared to the Cup cars, and there's a lot of talk about like the Xfinity races compared to the Cup races. Hot take here. The Xfinity guys are not as good as the Cup guys, right? And Ryan Sieg missed it the last couple laps and didn't aero block, and that's why that happened.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen at the front of a Cup race.
No.
And that's why, like, we need parity like we had in Bristol, because everybody in the Cup field is so good and everything is so dialed in that you don't miss. Yeah. And that's why the races get to be stale at times, because it's like everybody's so prepared. And the level, like, it's not even college to the NFL. I think it's I think from Xfinity to Cup is like high school to the NFL now.
It's a big jump.
It's a big jump.
And just guys that don't make mistakes, contrary to everything what we're talking about, we saw a lot of cautions at Texas, a lot of single car crashes, just because the margins are so small, man. If you get an opportunity to pass, you have to take it. You have to be aggressive. You have to put your car in a hole that you probably generally wouldn't and use your better judgment, but because you would be stuck behind the person if you don't complete this pass for the entire rest of the run, you see some guys pushing the envelope.
What I like
with the 42 and the 48.
What I like this weekend?
Tell me.
One race at Texas, it was packed.
Yes.
Texas was back, baby. And, hey, I've been harping on that. I think we need to go everywhere once because it felt special. Like, I like going to Texas, and but it's not as special if you go there twice.
I got an unpopular take, too. I like going to Texas. I feel like the track's one of the nicest ones we go to. Garage is nice. The infrastructure's nice. The roads, there's like a ton of ways to get in and out of the racetrack. There's a Bucky's right down the street. Are you kidding me?
I didn't go to Bucky's once.
I went to Bucky's four times.
We landed literally, garage opened at 10:30. We landed at 10:08. And then we were in the garage at 10:31. So, like, we never got to go to Bucky's. I felt cheated.
Yeah, you should. I bought actually a Bucky's bobblehead.
Every day.
I was going to sit here. And I took it out of my truck, and it fell down. And I shed a tear.
Every day this week, Corey, you would text and say, this guy from Bucky's is penny stacker week. Hey, this guy from Bucky's is also a penny stacker week. And then finally you said, don't judge me at how many times I've been to Bucky's.
Went four times. And also learned this week that a rhino taco actually doesn't have rhino meat in it.
Okay.
It's just sausage.
Well.
I wonder what made it so good. Thought it was rhino meat the whole time. But nonetheless, let's get into these video breakdowns. And if you are listening to it on SiriusXM Channel 90 or just on audio, I recommend go check this thing out on YouTube as well. They do all the clips. We break down all the things so you can see it for your visual reference as well.
Your Run viewing the tape. Pleasure. Ooh.
Big shot from the 48. The 42 actually, he was wounded a little bit, but he was still comparable the rest of the race. The 48 was not. Big damage to the Chevy Camaro of Alex Bowman. Yeah, that old girl's hurt. I didn't see what initiated this wreck. Do we have the... Okay, here we go. And... Oh. Hang on. What started that 48?
That's a different crash.
Oh, no, it's not.
Oh, it's not.
Okay, the 20 got a little bit too high. Got out of the groove. Backed it in the fence. That thing swapped ends with him. And now it's you're trying to slow down, trying to see what's going on. And they're crashing. Oh, man. So did the 48. Not a great shot of it. I don't know if the 48 got help there.
The old Bandolero crash.
Or if he just... Oh, here we go. Here's a good shot of it. Oh, no. So you're trying to slow down, right? You get on the brakes, and the car starts to unload out of the banking a little bit. That 48 just swapped ends, locked the rear tires up, and just went broadside. 42 did the same thing, like, ah, and absolutely shamelayed them. Not how those guys wanted their day to go, unfortunately. And it's even worse for the 42, honestly, because then you ride around wounded for the rest of the day, and that's like cruel and unusual punishment for a race car driver. Glad we passed that one unscathed. Here we go. 12 car got crashed. How was Ryan on the radio after that happened?
I didn't understand what happened. I just know that they were like, Timmy was like, watch the 41 here, coming to you. Already wrecked us. And then that was like, okay. Like, and then he was just like right front damaged, and we were just trying to fix it. Ryan never really said anything on the radio. Going back and watching it, it looks like Ryan slid the 41 and 3 and 4, and then the 41 just dumped us. Can confirm the right front was broken.
What was broken?
Toe link, and then it was just toe was off. And the splitter and the aero damage was just bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was just all bad.
Yeah, it's not good.
No. When you hit that corner, you're just done.
Yeah, you're done.
It pushes the splitter bar back. It just...
Oh, the 41, 41 went down in there and chased him.
He went down. It was a haymaker for sure. I don't know what warranted it. Like
something.
I so pr- Priest needed to borrow my trailer this morning. So he called me,
about that.
I'm like, what happened? And he's like, I got used up in 3 and 4, and then
people are over.
Just kind of, yeah. And I was like, okay, the trailer's here if you need it.
I mean, yeah, that happened yesterday.
I mean,
today you need a trailer.
Hey.
So back to my day, we struggled. I felt like there was a span of like 4 or 5 yellows in a row where some guys were 2, some guys were 4, some guys stayed out. And I almost felt like we were on the opposite side of where we should have been. One time we did fuel only. Couldn't get out of our box because I was sandwiched in between the 2 and the 54. It was just an absolute grinder of a day to get
it
to.
It felt
that point.
Like Ryan would get, like, I was hard for me to understand where we were. Like, one time I got up on top of, I thought we were kind of mired back, and I got on top of the wall before the end of the second stage. I was like, oh, shit, we're 3rd. And yeah. They're like, yeah, welcome to the show. And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize where we were because it was such a mixed bag of, like,
guys going long, two, guys
and then
splitting.
We'd do a pit stop, and I'd get up, and I'd stand up and be like, how did we just get smoked by them? And they're like, no, they did too.
Yeah.
But it would almost seem like Ryan was getting a little frustrated at times. But as a driver, you can't see the forest through the trees. So it's like you just need a crew chief to tell you, this is how hard I need you to run.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to cycle out because you don't know who's on what tires around you. You're going to lose track position at some point in time. You're going to have track position at some point in time.
Yeah.
And you just have to know, like, who you're racing and where it's all going to cycle out. And then it just became kind of like a storm at the end of just like, hope you make it. Hope you pick the right lane.
Yeah, we were not. So if we were in a really good spot. We stayed out, went long because there was a group of guys that went long the first stage and there were beneficiaries of a yellow. So we did that strategy the 3rd stage and caught a caution when we needed it for the first time all year.
You knew it was coming. You knew their cautions were
coming. Somebody's going to crash.
Is there 15 of them?
Yeah. Yeah, somebody was going to crash. I think it was the 42 that did us a favor, took one for the team.
Right here?
I don't know.
Oh, is that a bad arrow spot? Because that's how the 11 spun out as well.
That's a big lick, dude. Yes, if you show, if your left front's covered and your right side's showing, I feel like it takes yellow's out there. I feel like it takes the air off the left side of the diffuser. So you're relying on that left side of the diffuser to really hold it. And when your left center, when your center emblem to the left side, left front headlight's covered, it legitimately just swaps ends on you because you lose that attachment left rear. So we come down 3rd. Some guys were still on the lead lap, the 1, the 11, some got the 9 that were in contention to win. So we were still in a good spot. Some guys took 2, some guys took 4. We took 4 here. That was going to line us up with about 35 to go.
You ever drive in the grass
about
here?
10.
Like by accident?
You can't see that at all.
Oh.
You can't see on pit road. You can't really see.
Did you get a penalty?
Not in this one. No, it was earlier in the day. I drove through too many boxes.
So
guys have a pretty good stop right here. So we come out, I believe, 3rd.
Yep, that's the one where your carrier was very excited.
Okay.
You guys, what'd you jump a couple of spots?
Maybe 1.
I watched them.
2.
I was like, oh, that was good. That was actually the second fastest stop of the race. And they got 8-7.
Yep. They were moving. My guys are solid when you go let them eat.
Yeah, I still say they're wrong for the front changer dropping the jack, but we'll get to that later.
In pit row boats and wells.
Is it easy to drive through too many pit stalls here? Because, like, Fedewa kept reminding Ryan, Don't drive through too many stalls because the pit stalls are short.
I just clipped that one. I don't want to get too bogged down on that, but yes, because I was nosed in. I had to come around the 2, so I was nosed in. And by the time you get it, like, turned the other way.
Oh, you got it leaving.
Yeah.
Okay, copy.
Yeah,
they're tight pit boxes.
So we went from, I believe, so there was a restart with, like, I don't know, 14 to go, maybe less than that even. Got a good restart. And the thing about those restarts is if you don't fill an empty piece of asphalt, you know the guy behind you is going to fill it. So even if it's at a offensive leverage spot where you want to be in a defensive leverage spot, you have to go to the 3rd lane just because you know the guy behind you is going to go there, or Kyle Larson's going to do it from 7 rows back and fill it. And I go to the outside of the 77, thought I was in a pretty good spot there. I think that restart was about 8 to go. And here's actually the restart. 77 gets into me, puts me up into the weeds, and it pretty much gave all of our
track. Wait, so you got into the 5 there?
No, he was behind me. The 71 did. I think he chopped the 71's right front.
The 77 just moved you up? You're dealing with a little bit of a Russ Wheeler situation there.
We're going to see right here. So the 8 gets into the left rear.
Oh, he was top of 4.
Yeah. It's just you get shuffled out. So that freaking sucks because I thought we were in a decent spot. We had fought and scrapped to getting ourselves in a decent spot. We could have, I don't know, ran 13th somewhere in there.
Now, that hurt you that bad?
We went back to 19th there.
But the caution came out, didn't it?
Yeah. Doesn't come out till late.
Oh.
It doesn't come out till I'm like at a 2. So I went from, I don't know, 11th to 19th.
Hmm.
Here we go. In-car camera, mine. Get a good jump. Get to the outside. I'm like, okay, if I just have a lane here, I'll be okay. And that's just enough to get us up into the weeds.
In the car, if the caution would have came out back out there, right there, boom, damn. Of course, they're 3 wide, so you're just losing spots and spots and spots.
Yeah.
This was kind of the move at the end of the race, though.
There's really nowhere to go. It stinks and it sucks because I felt like that would have been kind of the rebound we needed to run top 15. But
the 77 goes on to run top 10, so you know could have.
That's tale of two races.
Tale of two restarts.
Yeah. Where we talked to Bubba Wallace, he joins us right here in studio, which I'm excited for you guys to hear that. He drove in the span of restarts 25th to 7th. So he had the right line choice and those guys were jiving. Ended up with a solid day.
Now the 11 car, I thought they had this thing won.
Full commit out of Denny Hamlin. But here, was he going for the dub?
Was he leading here, or was the 9 car the leader? The 9 car got by him on a restart because the 11 had control of the race.
And they just race each other down in here. You're full commit on the gas, wide open, and right there's a bad aero spot.
Yep,
that's what it is. The left front headlights covered. You're asking full lateral capability out of your right sides with some wheel into it. Like, come on, baby, turn, and then you lose that left rear diffuser pressure, and it's all over.
Same thing that happened that we just saw before with the
With the 42.
With the 42, yeah.
More exaggerated, but right there with the right as soon as he covers that left front headlight, and you're asking max lateral out of that left rear, it chokes off that diffuser pressure. It's over.
See ya.
Seen
a lot of stuff going on.
The Texas fans were quite happy about that. I heard them like Dale Jr. Bristol style in the car. Denny knew he was in a bad spot. You see the flame come out of the pipes. There. Like, bah! Not
like
good.
It's like freaking magic.
It is magic. Ran out of the that was black magic. That's what that was. Denny's in contention to win another one. Couple exciting restarts. I wonder if we don't get the re-racks at the end, and if it goes green the rest of the time from 40 to go, if it gets... What do you think it gets on the Jeff Gluck poll?
Oh, I don't know.
A 30? A 40?
Percent?
Yeah.
Good
without
race?
Without the greenway checkers at the end.
Oh, I thought it was a good race before then. I don't know. I think some of the greenway checkers were extensive or made it too much.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was tearing down the pit box at that point in time because we were wrecked, but I thought it was a good race, right? Like, what do you want? It had strategy.
I want a finish. I want 3 wide racing.
It had strategy. It had, like, they were guys putting each other in bad spots. It was your car had to be fast. You had to execute. It had a lot of drama on pit road. Right? It looked like the 5 car was going to dominate the day. They had an issue. So, for me, it was a complete race. I don't know what everybody they're going to vote on. It seems emotional to me when those voting polls.
I bet you, well, since the 9 car ended up in victory lane, I bet you it's 100.
100%.
100%.
Good, hey, good
for
those
race?
Guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, we love the outcome of this one. Last lap. Oh, man, Willie B. I'll tell you who freaking had a day at the end, because we were on a similar strategy, not very good one at the time, was the 6. We were both running like 27th and 28th, just stuck racing our butts off. And I don't know what they did to get a bit of track position towards the end of the third stage, but they shuffled away to the front, and old Bradley tightened the belts and got after it. Got himself a P3 finish.
That's a tough one right there. What a tough spot to be wrecked on the backstretch with everybody
looks
coming
deliberate,
at you.
But you are trying, when you're the 24, you're in the gas, and you're trying to judge to slide up behind that one to keep your momentum going because you don't want to crack it. And I think it was the difference of a rounded bumper, legitimately. That extra inch and a half of the roundness is what the 24 caught. Rewind that again. Let's see it. But the 24 was full commit. I'm sure that was absolutely not intentional. You're in like a four-tire slide. Oh, just enough.
I wonder if the one car got tight and had to check up a little bit.
I don't think so. I think the 24 just got a good corner and tried to blend.
Yeah.
And everything's right in the NASCAR world because Awesome Chase from the same place, Dawsonville, Georgia, takes the dub. And that Hooters Camaro, first win for Hooters since 1992, was pretty choked up. Oh, look at the fans. Pout. Ah,
oh, that's Chase, that's awesome. Yes.
That's pretty cool. I got to ride in the old introductory or the driver intro truck with Clyde. We talked for a little bit, catching up on life.
That's cool that he does that for Kawicki.
Yeah.
You learned a lot about Kawicki being in his shop the last couple of years with the 7 car. And there was a lot. You know, when Alan died, there was, in that plane wreck, a lot of the Hooters executives, and they haven't won a race since then. So I know that this one was heavy for Chase to be able to do that.
That's pretty cool.
A lot of things unpacked. You know, he's coming off of a winless streak. They got a championship team. He's watching all of his teams, the teams around him in the same building win. And, confidence is fragile in this sport.
Yeah.
And it's very fleeting. And,
is the 9 car back?
Absolutely. It's been back. Like, he's been good. He's been close, you know, but there was a lot of noise last year. Yeah. Right. And he's not immune to that.
Yeah.
But to dig yourself back out of it, and he run good last week. He's put himself in position the last couple of weeks, and to be able to get back to victory lane, I'm happy for Alan and those guys. Alan Guffson's an absolute stud.
He was even talking about in this pre-race ride-along truck of just the mile-and-a-half feel was something that he was trying hard to work up to. What obviously Kyle Larson has speed everywhere he goes, and William Byron has figured it out as well. He's like, man, I don't see how those guys run it off the right front like they do. Because the age-old saying is loose is fast. Well, no, like you look, and those guys have a lot of wheel angle, and they just pound it to it. So he said he's worked really hard with Alan and his engineers to just understand, the way of those guys, how they keep the right fronts on it, how they make pace. Alan had some great calls to get that 9 car some track position, and Clyde Elliott got her done.
Jimmy Johnson talked about that at length in his pre-race, and it bit him in practice, but he just said, I'm used to running off the right rear. And Kevin Harvick on the broadcast, on the Fox broadcast during practice, was just harping on how hard it is, how much of an uphill battle it was going to be for Jimmy Johnson, how different the cars are now than what Jimmy was used to. And we see that a lot. And that's like a credit to, when I look back at like a credit to Denny Hamlin and some of the old school guys that were really good at that.
And recalibrated their brain to figure it out.
And figured
Martin
it out.
Truex, strong team around him as well. But at the end of the day, you're the quarterback, like we're going to talk about with Bubba here shortly. It's taken clearly the 9, Chase Elliott and the 9 team had more success with the previous car, but punching their ticket, first mile and a half win in the next gen car for Chase and that 9 group. So.
This hurts my heart to see Jimmy do bad.
Hurts mine too. I like it when I beat him.
If you were Jimmy, if you're so from the driver's
let's
seat.
Let's not forget that Jimmy is the greatest stock car driver to ever do it.
For sure. No doubt in my mind. Let me ask you, if there is a track, what Kevin Harvick kept saying was, if there's a track to come dabble in cup racing, Texas is not the one,
dude,
is what
so
he was saying.
Sketchy.
What's the one?
You're on the verge of chattering the right tire and busting your ass every single lap.
What's the one if Jimmy's going to run a limited schedule? What 4 races?
He's running.
Like,
is he running?
Well,
Dover?
He is, right? He is. But like, if you're going to come back and run a limited schedule, which ones are the, I wouldn't say easiest, but the ones that you're going to be most competitive?
Yeah, Martinsville. If I'm Jimmy, which I'm not, and I don't think like Jimmy does. Dover, what's he got, like 11 monsters?
Does the car drive comparable like it used to at Dover? Or?
I don't think that he has a car that's going to be about a second faster than everybody else's at Dover like he's used to having, but I think just the feel there of how you load the car into the banking, how you load the right sides is going to relate. that's a place that I've ran well there as well, and it's transitioned to how I drive the new car.
But this is like when we're talking about Texas, it's completely different.
Oh
right?
My god! Yeah,
these things look more like Indy cars.
That's what Kyle Larson said in his super fast runner up in his first Indy 500 practice session, which is absurd. Is not
it?
Surprising.
Is it?
No, not surprising, but it is absurd. So he legitimately has a chance to freaking win that thing.
It's not. So, like, people are like, I don't expect him to win, but I expect him to do good. Dude, I will be impressed if he wins, but I will not be surprised if he wins the Indy 500. Yeah. Like, I don't know. That's what I would say. I'd be impressed, but not surprised.
I'm with you.
And I'm pulling for him.
Me too. I think we're all pulling for him. My man's going to have some frequent flyer miles too, buddy. I'm excited to see. I'm sure they're going to do some content around that journey back and forth. I'm excited to see that. Maybe I can drag him into the studio here in a couple weeks before or after to talk about that experience. But nonetheless, that's all things Texas. Everything's good in the world. Chase Elliott in the 19, back in victory lane. But a good old friend of myself and Ryan Flores coming right here in studio. Bubba Wallace, come right up.
I'm Ryan Flores. Join Kim Kuhn and myself each and every week at Around the Track. We'll get you ready for the upcoming race weekends, from short tracks to the Cup Series, whether you'll be attending in person or watching from home.
Coming your way each week is the best bets to win some easy money and driver suggestions to help pump up your fantasy lineups. Around the Track also tells you what to watch for in the NASCAR Regional Series and which young phenom drivers to keep your eye on.
Plus, our At Traction segment gives you all of the fan activities, concerts, and tailgating fun at the track. Be sure to check out Around the Track each and every Wednesday on NASCAR's YouTube channel.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
And we're back, guys. Join us right here in the Nonsense Garage. Bubba Wallace, join Stack and Pennies. Hey, buddy.
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm all right.
You're tired.
Wake up. Yeah.
Tired. It's a long night. Long flight back from Texas.
Yeah.
But a couple top tens recently.
No doubt. Man, we had a grind for that one yesterday.
Yeah.
What a awful day for us on the 23 car.
Give us some cliff notes right quick before we get into the good stuff.
Man, like unloaded and we were group B. And
that's a place you generally expect to go run well at. Sat in the pole
really.
There.
Not
right?
Really.
Didn't you sit
on
the pole
there? Well, I sat on a pole, but.
Yeah.
We definitely made a step up into it last year. You know, when we made the playoffs, I grabbed Booty and pulled him aside. And I'm like, hey, man, round two. I think it was round two. Round two is going to kick our ass. It was, I think, the Roval and Texas. And we show up and have a lot of pace, sit on the pole, and, you know, have a career day. So I was like, hey, good job. So obviously, you know, you think you show up and everything's going to be the exact same.
No.
So we adjusted. We over-adjusted. I don't know. It doesn't take much. No. We followed what the 45 was doing because we show up to the track the exact same. Like, exact same. And then we may veer off, you know, a couple adjustments.
Every week?
Every week. Exact same.
You guys are that much, mm-hmm. that close where you can unload the mm-hmm. same. No.
Yeah. He's got a little bit different things for, like, driver comfort stuff. But,
What, like a...
Yeah.
Booster seat?
Yes, that for sure.
Pedal extension?
Yes. Yes. he's got the steering wheel where you could, the controls where you can move it closer to
him. Yeah, heated steering wheel.
Yeah, he's got all that. And I went in and I'm like, man, I'm tight. Like, I'm just a little tight, like a little uncomfortable tight. And I got out of the car and they're like, yeah, you're loose. We'll tighten you up. And so I spent all of Saturday night. I was sitting at, we went to Tyler Childers concert. Awesome. And, like, halfway through it, I just sit down and grab my phone and I start firing off text to Booty. Like, just thinking, like, what is happening? Like, what is going on? I couldn't give the correct feedback. And so I was a little spun out then. He's like, you're fine, got a lot of pace.
So they're looking at SMT, mm-hmm. thinking you're loose.
Yep.
You're telling them you're tight.
Yep. But then, like, you see shallow entry, you see tight center, yep. you see all the things that show loose. But I'm over here like, no, I'm tight.
Yeah.
He's like, no, you're just compensating for being free. I'm like, why can't I get that through my head?
It hit you mid Tyler Childers.
Oh no, it hit me all day. But then I was really like, okay, what is going on? So like, I had a massive mental block even through the race, and I don't know what it was. So we get into the race and we're okay, and I'm getting pissed off because we keep restarting 10th to 12th. Right, we keep restarting there, and then the 14 sticks his nose into one. The 10 doesn't know that we're three wide. We make contact, and I'm up by the wall in one. So of course I lose it. Said I'm tired of restarting. We're restarting, right?
Mm.
Do something to get us track position. Well, we weren't a car good enough to do that. And so when we go up there and get track position, we ran second in that stage. We ran down Ross, but it just wanted to block my vision.
No. Trying to block like your face.
Yeah,
you got a face for radio. That's what they tell me.
There, is that good?
No, I don't know.
No. You made it wait. You were
sorry. You were okay. It was just getting closer. It was creeping
closer.
Out. Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah, okay. Sure.
So then we get up there and
we're just yard sale things.
Yeah. we get up there and then we're just too free. So at moments I was too tight and I was too free and just could never get a balance, and so we were just hanging on. Went to the back there, and luckily those restarts helped us out. So we just kept
plugging
middle.
From 25th to 8th.
25th to 7th.
Damn.
25th to 7th on those restarts.
Man, I went from 12th to 22nd. Damn. So tale of two restarts there. That was unfortunate.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to get into the nitty-gritty of the weekend. Sit 9th in points.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be feeling pretty good about that 23 car so far this year.
Yeah, no, it's good. I think, you know, that's one of the big things I learned. Like, even as rough as days can get, like, you can't give up, right? I think I kind of learned that. You think you learn that from the get-go. But, like, Charlotte last year, we ran 16th to 20th. Ended up 4th on the last restart.
Mm.
And so you just never give up. As rough as the days are, you know, our guys, we know that. If we have bad days on pit road, or if I make dumb calls on the racetrack, or we just don't have a good car, like, none of us ever give up. And so that's what you need. And then it starts to kind of stack up. And, you know, we keep saying you keep throwing your name in the hat, and it's eventually going to get pulled. Like, I thought the 9 winning yesterday was perfect. He's ran top 5 the last 4 races.
Yeah.
Hell, he's due.
That's right.
You know, so... we got to get a little bit better all around. But yeah, I think this is obviously the best start we've had to our season and any season. And it's good. It's fun.
Man, I thought that rewind a little bit, right when you go over to 2311, they tab Booty as crew chief.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit confused, not knowing much about Booty besides his time at Germain, but he's been around the garage forever.
A long time.
And I didn't really understand the full scope of how he's gotten the most out of you and made you really reach and like fulfill your potential as a race car driver until I watched that Netflix show.
Yeah.
And you watch him and you watch Booty. He ended up being, there were some comparisons about Gunther Steiner. I think they're complete opposites.
I think so too.
Because, Booty's just a good old boy.
Yeah.
And he seems to be the perfect fit for you as a crew chief driver pairing. Yep. So what's that been like?
Yeah, it's interesting. I love Booty to death, and I'd say throughout my career, you know, you don't really realize it until you get to, I guess, the top level of what you like and what you need. I had crew chiefs come through, like when I jumped on at the 43, you know, Drew was over there, Drew Blick, and very personable guy, you know, down to earth, and we vibed really well. And then he left to go to, I think, the 34 at that time. And I had my engineer at the time come up, Derek, and we never really vibed, like, on that personal level. He was super engineering mind-based, which is all good. We just never had that click, and the results didn't show.
Statements? Derek Stamets?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I worked with Derek.
Yeah, yeah. He was a great guy, but never
very
could get that.
Very engineering-based.
Yes. And so... then I brought Jerry over, and our results picked up.
Yeah, almost like a little bit of Willie B. Rudy. Like
yes.
You're comfortable with them. You had success with them. Let's try to recreate some magic.
Yeah, and so then when I jumped over to the 40 or the 23, you know, I had wheels. And again, very engineering-based, very structured, and just, hey, this is what we're going to do. Like, we show up. We're going to do this, this, and that. And I'm like, I'm invested into it. Wasn't working out.
It's awkward. It's very awkward with some crew chiefs because what it seems like you need is you need, like, booties can say stuff the right way.
Yep.
But with engineers, sometimes the way their feedback is, it doesn't always feel like they have your back.
Right.
Because it's, like, very much matter of fact.
Yes.
And you're like, no, but I'm dealing with this. No, this is what the numbers
yes,
say.
Yes, 100%. And so, like, you listen to Cliff on the radio with Larson, and you're like, man, it sounds like he says all the right things, like, oh, I'm ready to run through a brick wall, but it's like, is that what, like, I don't know if I'd like that.
Dude, whip out a Cliff. I'm waiting for you to whip out a Cliff.
I know, me too.
I kicked him out of our pit box yesterday.
Biting your tongue over there.
Yeah, he was walking through our pit box. I said, excuse me, don't walk through my pit box. oh, is this yours? And then he came back walking the next way and walked around it. But, dude, that's how Cliff has been since we raced legend cars. Yeah. He's always been like I tell the story.
Very structured.
Well, the first time I ever met him at Southside Speedway, he showed me, like, we were all racing, right? And he showed me, I rebuilt my whole steering column to take all the slop out. I was like, what a freaking nerd.
just like, get your elbows up a little higher.
Yeah. I mean, that's why he's crew chief.
Exactly.
And, you know, but that's what it looks like with Booty. Like, he's personable enough to where you can talk to him.
Yep.
But also, he can convey things in a way to tell, like, put a foot in your ass, but also have your back at the same time.
100%. And also, he's the type, like, okay, we're boys, so whatever you say to me, that I know you're pissed off in the moment. Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna get hurt feelings, and he'll tell you, dude, I played football all my life. I had it way worse than what you say. And so it's like having people understand that instead of going back to the shop the next day and everybody's butt hurt, because we say we're in a car for 3.5 hours.
It's a very isolated feeling.
Yes. And so when you restart 10th to 12th every time and get canned every time, you know, you just, what are we doing? And they're like, we're fine. We'll get it back.
On a scale from 1 to Blaney, how fired up do you get on the radio? Blaney being a 10.
12.
Dude,
or a 12. He's
okay,
a 12.
Okay, we're going to go there. This guy can drive around bitching, screaming, throwing the bird. Oh, man, he's passionate. Bubba Wallace gets out and flips off his manager behind camera. He just flipped off America. F*** him.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's weird how that is, man.
That's all I'm going to say.
That's a lot of weight, though. And do you live with that? Do you feel that burden of, like, expectations and perception, you know, being
I mean, there's there's way more eyes, for sure, you know? And I think, you know, at times, I'd say the biggest thing that I've done in this year, and, you know, I was, ever since 2020, I was always, like, after all the down, right?
Yeah, which you didn't ask for.
No. I was like, okay, I got to prove to everybody that, you know, I belong here, and, you know, instead of just
being Bubba.
Exactly. And, you know, thinking that the world is against me and everybody's out to get me, you know, there may be some, but I don't need to invest my time into that anymore, you know, trying to prove everybody right. The people that matter, they know what's right and what's wrong. And
that's right.
And so I think that's helped me out a lot, just from the mental side of it. And then showing up to the racetrack and being more comfortable. You know, I definitely lost touch with who I was, for the last couple of years, and chasing the wrong thing. And, you know, now that you've kind of gotten back, to being on the right track, things are starting to click. So,
all right. Well, I love it. I love to see it clicking for you and that 23 team. Keep it moving. You're welcome back anytime. Bubba Wallace in the Nonsense Garage, everybody.
Thank you.
Join Todd Goyne and myself each week for NASCAR Inside the Race. We'll break down exactly how the race was won.
Plus, we'll dive into the data and go in depth on race strategies, penalties, and rule changes.
Catch NASCAR Inside the Race, presented by Consumer Cellular, each Tuesday on NASCAR's YouTube channel.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And we're back. Well, hey, guys, that was just a taste. That was just an appetizer of the Bubba Wallace interview. Hope you guys enjoyed it. But if you want more, it will be on NASCAR's YouTube channel on Thursday for a 40-minute all behind the scenes of Bubba Wallace interview. That was a lot of cool stuff in there. If you want to hear more about that, tune in Thursday. But we're going to carry on this show on the road, pit road boats, and woe time. Several woes, one of which we talked about, catching pit road on fire. But probably the biggest one and most newsworthy one is that five, losing a tire on a racetrack. That's a no-no.
Yeah. So green flag stop. If I would venture to say if the caution didn't come out, it wouldn't have come. It's the caution coming out is what promoted that. Because, like, when it stays loaded up, especially a right side, it would either – like pop off and he would feel it and almost wreck and it would stay in the fender, but when the caution comes out it kind of gives it that wiggle room and it just works itself out.
Yeah.
And then you gotta kind of limp it around. The only thing that I think they could have done better is he was in pit stall one, so you can stop and back up to your pit stall right there. I don't know if that's a complete no-no, but if you're talking about getting your guy suspended or not, I don't know what the penalty is, but that's a two lap penalty if your wheel comes off.
I think you don't.
He doesn't feels make more that call. Like, no. Cliff's got to make that call. And if I like,
yes,
if,
but he feels like it's probably unless they look at the tape and know that it's loose. I think it feels more like a flat tire than it does a loose wheel.
I would say that I would guess that they knew that there was something not right with it before that happened, because like the team knows. They put the wheel on there. They got the high-speed cameras. We've got everything that they'll be like, we're not sure. So, for instance, yesterday, Ryan said after the first stop, my left rear feels a little squishy. And he's like, Zach was like, I don't know if it's all the way tight, because it kind of did the same thing that I'm sure the right rear of the five car did, where it gets on the pins, but it kind of gets a little divot in the pin, and then you have to drive it up with the gun. And if you don't stay on it, like, excessively until it's tight, that's where it can give you a false sense that it's tight, because the line stop on the gun, but it doesn't actually chug it all the way up.
The old ugga dugga.
You gotta ugga dugga it up there. And that's what, I mean, we've been seeing more and more of that, and I see like the tweets, why is this happening? What is going on? It's just speed. Everybody is chasing speed. We saw a new fast stop this week, which we'll get to.
Ring the bell. Ting!
And yeah, everybody is chasing it because you have to be fast. Now, do you have to be that fast on a green flag stop? I don't know, but Calvin Teague, the rear changer on the five car, has been one of the best in the sport for over a decade. And with that, you're going to have some woes like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure that they'll right the ship. And I think they get a two-week vacation. But yeah, a lot of issues.
Who's that Jackman and changer?
Yeah, Brandon. I think it's Jackman and Changer.
It's tough.
Yeah, that's tough. But
I wonder
it's
if they
part
take
of
any
being a pro.
Guys.
Probably take probably. Your guys.
Hang on. Hey, trickles down. Thinking, like, oh no.
Trickles
there
down.
There goes my
you.
Guys. Yeah.
Well, at least Talladega is a gas kind of. You just worry about your fuel there, and then
we go into
10 weeks of like hardcore pit stops throughout the summer. It's going to be 10 weeks. I was looking at the schedule, like, oh boy, get Talladega week off. Kind of from practice and take it easy, and then it's like
Kansas,
let's go.
Darlington.
Kansas, Dover, Darlington, North All-Star. Wilkesboro, Charlotte, Nashville, St. Louis, all the way into Sonoma, which you pit at. Like, it's all
bring
tracks.
Big boy britches.
Oh, yeah.
What else we got? 19 car had a loose wheel as well.
19 car had a couple loose wheels on the day. It was a tough go for them. See that one? See how it's chugging right there? The line's like,
Yeah.
What happened here? Okay, the car's on the ground.
Oh, he's riding her out too, buddy.
Yeah, but he was trying to tighten it on the ground. From what I understand, he missed his button going back in, and they dropped the jack, and he's trying to tighten it on the ground. They're even waiting on fuel here, which is kind of a little bit of an insult
and
injury.
He's
Caleb
goes
to... Yeah, they go to jack the car back up.
What's that feeling like, just holding on to that gun when he's driving away?
It feels really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, oh, no, I hope I don't get fired. That's kind of what that's like. 19 has undoubtedly had a ton of issues this year. A good pit crew, but they're definitely – the narrative probably on that team is not great right now. 54. This is after you just lit the whole pit box on fire, so everybody's upended. What I understand here is KJ will come to the left side, take the wheel off, hear it spool up.
She spooled up.
The socket is, if you pause it, the socket is still on the wheel. So the socket broke off of the pit gun.
I heard the pit gun shat, like, blew up.
No, just the socket broke off of the pit gun.
Look at Coach back there just chilling. Here he comes. Hey, that's my grandson over there. Look at him doing real good.
So there's the socket.
Yeah, there it is.
So the sockets are bolted to the anvil on the pit gun. And this is a part that Paoli, I want to see how he gets it off. Hit it with a hammer. Hey, that's good engagement, man. We see people lose nuts all the time, and then the socket just went out there and ran 15 laps on the racetrack. It's tough because it's a part that you don't build, right? We get these from Paoli. Paoli has a monumental job of supplying everybody in the sport with guns. 3 guns per team. Times 40 teams, right? They service them. They do everything. You get them an hour before the race.
What is wrong with that tire?
We'll get there. Inevitably.
What is that thing?
We'll get there.
Holy
mackerel. We're not there yet. We're going there next.
Jesus.
But inevitably, stuff is going to break, and it looks really bad, but like, you only highlight the stuff that breaks, and it's frustrating for the teams. I don't want to like crap on Paoli because they do 95% of the stuff they do is great. It's 5% that gets on TV because it breaks, and you know,
kind of like Goodyear.
It's part of it.
You only get shouted out when something goes bad.
It's like Goodyear. It'd be like blowing a tire and asking for your spot back, right?
Yeah.
Like some of the guys are like, "Well, you should give us that back." Like, no, that's not how it goes. Unfortunately, bad luck for you. We had a slow stop here on the 45. I haven't seen this one yet. Come to the right side.
Sounds like it's under green, obviously. Oh, little right.
They had trouble on both exchanges there. So Ricketts kind of checked off on the front, knowing that the front was slow and didn't expect the rear to be slow as well. So they had to rejack it. I don't know what happened. I did see, been seeing a lot more like slow run-ups. I don't know if...
45 come down lead and had this.
Ooh.
It's tough. I will say, though, and this is a little bit confusing to understand the theory here, but... Not even a theory. You'd rather have a slow stop under green like this. If you're going to have this stop, call it a 12-5. You'd rather have it under green because you're losing less spots. You're losing a lot of time, but you're going from the lead to maybe fourth. If that happens under yellow, then you're going from the lead to 15th, and your day is completely done.
Correct. So if you're leading and you have a 3-second lead, right, and you come in and you lose 3 seconds in the pit box, you're going to come out.
First or second still.
First and second. If you lose 3 seconds in the pit stall under yellow, you might come out the tail end of the lead lap cars, right? Yeah. You might be the last car in the lead lap. So, yes.
More cars in a certain time window.
As dumb as it sounds, I think it's about 3/10 per spot, 3 to 4/10 per spot. So, if someone's 3/10 better than you, you'll lose that spot.
Yep. Under green.
Green flag pit stop mentality is... They did the right thing here, right? Because we just saw with the 19 where they tried to tighten it on the ground and they didn't get it. Here, they Ricketts rejacks it and they tighten the right rear and keep going. And he actually drove back to the lead.
Yeah.
Got shuffled later, but a lot of woes. But one
what
team,
happened to the 20? You teased me with this pitcher on here, but holy mackerel.
No,
what is up with that balloon?
I don't think.
What is that thing?
I don't think Blake understands that thing's about to blow up.
Yeah, what is that?
They spun out.
Oh.
And it took all the tread off of it. So like that's a tire that's about to blow.
Oh.
Yeah, so you know like when you spin and then delaminates and then all the tread comes off and then that's just like the carcass. Yeah,
don't touch that thing, big fella.
Yeah. That thing is about to blow.
It is. Get away from that thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like I was watching, I got way down like a weird ass rabbit hole of like a whale, when a whale dies and then like polar bears were eating it, it blew up. Yeah. That's what that is right there. You don't want to be touching that thing.
It's an orca. Yeah. The orca was not having a good day.
But one team that didn't have any problems or any blow-ups, that's the nine car. Not only did they win the race, but that's not what makes them dogs of the week.
It's not.
New fastest stop of the year.
Quick time.
8:49. Those guys, it's got to feel good for those guys. They are a championship team.
Mm-hmm.
They are, like, everybody on that team has, they're veterans. They're probably, when you look at average age, I know Bozy kind of does average age quite a bit. They're probably one of the highest on average age. Nick O'Dell, 22 years in the sport.
Dog.
He was front tire changer on the nine car for Casey Kane, you know, mm-hmm. and then he was with Kyle Busch for a long time, and he's been at Hendrick.
He has been one of the best for a long, long time.
And still is, right? Yeah. Just did the fastest stop. Chad Averett, rear changer, he's been in the sport 18 years. He's also
a dog.
One of the best. And then, you know, TJ John, all those guys, they've all won championships, won the Mechanics Wear Award. They're very accomplished. So, you know, those guys, Chase wasn't the only one that went through that last year, right?
Yeah.
It was the whole team.
Yeah.
And kind of forget that those guys are used to winning too, and they're used to being great. And Alan Gustafson, through that struggle that they've had with on-track performance, they've kept their same guys, continuity, know that they're a great team, and they go and execute this week. And they've been super fast, man. The nine team, don't sleep on the nine team. They are, like they just proved, one of the best teams on pit road. They won average. They were the best average this week.
Mm.
They had the fastest stop of the week, and they won the race. So shout out to them.
I tell you, Alan Gustafson does not get enough credit. He is, one, in Hall of Famer. Two, just an absolute dog himself.
Absolute Hall of Famer. But he's not going to be out there.
He's not going to be on the stage telling you about it.
He's not as outspoken as, like, Cliff, right, on the radio. He's definitely a different type of leader. But
he's an intense fella.
Someone said, hey, you got to pick a crew chief right now, he'd definitely be top three.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And a lot of people calling for his head over the last, I don't know, 16 months with that nine team struggling.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, the chatter was getting loud. Even just for the sake of making a change, just to make a change, because, you know, it's not unlike Hendrick Motorsports, just to shake some stuff up and move numbers on cars and keep the team
Alan's
intact.
Alan's not only the type of guy I'd want a crew chief. He's the type of guy that, like, if I was starting a race team, they were like, pick somebody to come run the team. I'd be like,
he's the guy, dude. Yeah, he's the guy. Just got good culture. He's a personable guy. Super intense. It does not surprise me. He has helped Chase get back in his rhythm, get that nine team back in victory lane. And they're back, baby. The nine team's back.
They're back. Good for them. They deserve it.
They do.
Dogs of the week.
Dogs of the week. Congratulations. Hard earned. 8:49, quick time of the year. Who's going to be the next team to beat it?
I don't know. Hopefully the 12.
It won't be this weekend at Talladega.
Nope.
I don't think you'll see very many poor tire stops. But nonetheless, we're going to land this thing here shortly. Talk about my Buggy's experience and some Penny for Your Thoughts questions coming up right after this.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. Couple Penny for Your Thoughts questions, as well as some penny stackers from one location only, and that was Bucky's. We'll get that in a second. Great questions this week. What are they?
First one, why were there so many caution laps before the green-white checker restarts?
I think because the field was four wide, every time, and the instant the caution comes out, they have to sift through whose bumper was ahead of who based off the previous loop, and it just becomes an absolute cluster. So I do not envy NASCAR's position to try to line up the cars after each and every one, because the difference of a spot is the difference of a row, is the difference of a choose that can make your day. Two examples: Bubba going from 25th to 7th, or me going from 12th to 22nd. A couple bad lines, couple bad shuffles, get stuck behind somebody that doesn't go, and all that comes down to your position when the time of caution drops. So that's why they spend extra time trying to do that.
Well, that makes sense. And sometimes
they got to clean up.
Another thing too is, yeah, they got to clean up, or if there's a car stuck on pit road, right, they have to give an opportunity to open pit road as well. So if there's a mess on pit road, you have to clean that up before you can open pit road, then you can go green. So there's a lot of factors. They're not just riding around.
No, they don't want to ride around.
No, I mean, there's cases like Bristol where they maybe ran a couple more caution laps because they knew they didn't have enough tires. But, like, it's not – there's usually a reason behind it. How did the conversation with Clyde during the truck ride around go?
It was good. That's really the only time you get to have some, you know, one-on-one talk with anybody, really, because everything else it's just kind of like pleasantries. But there you get, you know, 5 or 6 minutes to talk. And it's cool to pick his brain of just where he's at, where they're at his team, what he's working on. And it was cool to see him get the dub.
Copy. That's good. A lot of people see Tex Motors. People
we also boring. We also side note, we porta potty placement, the P3s, if you will, was terrible at Texas. There's only one porta potty on the entire side of pit road. They drop you off after the truck, and somebody was dropping a deuce
in the porta potty.
In the porta potty, there was a line of about 30 guys, and everybody's like, "Yo, pick a different to spend the entire afternoon in. We got things to do." There was legitimately 9 drivers in line waiting on this, and we all had to abort mission and walk all the way to the media center to use the bathroom before the race started.
Oh, man, I hate it for you guys.
It's tough. It was really tough. And I'll tell you what, Chase was sitting there. We were sitting there talking, and he was talking to some other guys. Every person, there was probably 8 to 10 people that came up, asked for autographs. He signed every one.
That's good.
Yep, every single one. So I got to give credit where credit's due. My man had to pee, and he stood there, signed autographs like a champ.
Maybe that's why Denny was underlyingly so mad at Marcus Smith the other day.
Yeah.
That could have been where it stemmed from.
Yeah.
A lot of people see Tex Motor Speedway as boring. How do you feel as a driver? I think it has crested the hill.
I'm still on the side of not loving Texas, but I don't think it's bad enough now to where you have to spend the money to repave it or reconfigure it, but I would personally be on the side of love a nice reconfiguration of that spot.
Copy. Another one. How does pit crew prepare for hot weather? It snuck up on me yesterday.
It did?
Yeah, and it'll
shift. Sun popped out. It got to 80.
It'll shift now. I think everybody's worked on kind of – I think everybody on pit road's kind of worked on fire suit technology and best way to cool yourselves. They've been really hard on SFI underwear, so that's kind of raised the temperature. But hydration all starts Friday, Saturday, even earlier in the week for you. So making sure that you
stay ahead of it.
So last one. Does Corey like the pre-race drive around the track?
I do. It's like a little bit of a calm before the storm. You know, all you hear is the nice wind whipping. You see the fans. You see the fans waving at you, screaming at you. They weren't screaming at me. Actually, no, it's funny enough. We get in the truck, and there was 2 guys wearing Stag and Penny shirts. Shout out to these fellas. And they start to chant, "Corey, Corey, Corey." And we pull away, and, like, people start chanting. They join this chant. And Chase is like, "Look, man, you got more fans than I do." I said, "I just paid those guys $20 earlier to start the chant when we got in the truck." So those guys get an honorable mention for the Penny Stackers of the Week. But multiple Penny Stackers of the Week this week that separated themselves from the field. I love Bucky's iced coffee. I love everything. I bought matching swim shorts for the kids and I. Bought a bobblehead, as I mentioned earlier. What else did I buy? A couple Rhino tacos. But the iced coffee there is really good. So I went in there the first day, and the guy working there, he was like in, you know, he got the little bar with like the half and half and the, you know, the milk and the oat and all the stuff. He's just like cleaning it up. And I'm like putting the top of my coffee. He goes, "Hey, Corey, good luck this weekend. I listened to the show." So that fellow's name was Eddie. So that's when I fired off. Eddie is Penny Stagger of the Week. Eddie from Buc-ee's.
I was confused because I thought he lived there.
He doesn't live there. He might. He works there.
You could live in a Buc-ee's. You'd never have to leave.
No, you wouldn't. You got everything you need. And then also so Sunday morning I went, and I see this fellow walking around with a Quarterly Joy shirt and a hat, and I was getting my stuff, so I tracked him down, and I was like, "Hey, man, nice shirt." Calls his wife. She's on the other side of the store. "Honey, get over here." His wife, wearing a seven hat, running across Buc-ee's. "Wait, oh my God." So Justin and his family the next day were super pumped up to meet me. So we spent a couple minutes talking. They said they met me there at that Buc-ee's 2 years ago. Somebody else said that they met me at that Buc-ee's. So they go now to Buc-ee's on Sunday morning expecting to see me there. They just hang out in a certain window before the race. And lo and behold, I show up Sunday morning, get my Rhino taco, cold brew coffee, and keep it moving.
If you stand next to the Rhino tacos on Sunday morning, you will see Corey LaJoy at some point in time.
See me between the hour probably 8:15 and 8:45. That's where I'll be. So if you want to get autographed, meet me at the Rhino taco station.
If you're mad at him, buy all the Rhino tacos so he can't get one.
Oh, I walked up. and there's this fella looking at it. There's the last one, and we did like one of these. Like, no, I was like, "You gonna eat that?" And he was like, "No." And I was like, "Good, that's mine."
I thought you were a brisket guy.
Not for the morning.
For the morning.
I was Rhino meat tacos, man. That's what gets me going. All right. We have a couple great clips. One of which happened on Saturday, the Xfinity race. Ryan Sieg, everybody was the feel gooder. He chooses the middle here. Doesn't pick the mayonnaise or the mustard. The one gets a great run through one and two, commits to the top, gets to the left rear corner with a monster run. Clears him, goes into three, little loose. Oh, my Atlanta, the 39, turns down the hill, and it's going to be a drag race. The one gets the run, puts it on his door. They get a little loose. Contact. Oh, my goodness.
Man.
I thought the 39 won.
It looked like 39 was ahead the whole time until they showed the slow-mo.
Dude.
Just barely.
A splitter.
At the start-finish line might be the only place on the whole track where the A car was ahead.
The one car.
Or the whatever car it is.
Dude, that is so freaking close. Not the closest in Xfinity Series history, surprisingly.
What?
No. Second closest finish. I feel for Ryan Sieg, man. I feel for him. That team's been doing it a long time. That was one of the best positions they put themselves in as a team. A little bit of an affiliation with Stuart Haas. They mount the bodies there. They buy cars from them.
They're
so it's not
right
surprising
way.
That he was in contention there at a mile and a half. But he comes up that short. Hate it for those guys. Sam Mayer's been having a tough start to the year, but it's good to punch that playoff ticket early. Man, what a finish. The fans got a good one there.
And $100,000 to Sam Mayer for the Dash for Cash.
Ooh,
so.
The double whammy.
Let's go.
So, yeah, that was a great finish. Also, I saw a clip from MotoGP. Did you see this?
No.
Fire it up. So, side note.
Oh.
Trackhouse has a MotoGP team. So, these guys get caught up between 15 and 16.
They go to the wrong bike?
The guys get on the wrong bike. "Sir, that's my horse. Get off. Yo, get off my bike." They literally didn't know where it was. And this guy's pushing people out. Like, get off the bike. Those guys were going 218 miles an hour into 12.
What?
Yeah. So SVG, Daniel, and Ross, they flew after practice and qualifying to Austin to go watch that MotoGP race or practice on Saturday. So those guys were nuts. And I agree with them.
So they were going 212 into turn 12.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Dude.
That's crazy, dude. And then using their body as kind of a parachute to slow themselves down. Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them. That was a funny little clip. What else we got?
Do they run? I wonder if they run the same track or if they shorten it or change it.
Yeah, they
it
run the full track.
The full track.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Yep. Yeah. That's all I got. Did everything grind your gears this week?
No, I did see a little bit of talk from other motorsports fans of like, how come these guys can't figure out how to get lug nuts on it? Everybody, every other form of motorsports has one lug nut. And I was like, man, they're going to make me do it.
Do it.
They're going to make me toot the horn.
What are you tooting?
They're going to make me toot our own horn here. I would say, so like I see like people talk about, whether it be F1 pit stops, IMSA pit stops, IndyCar pit stops, I'm going to say this. As a defending cup champion, I feel like I could go and do one practice and be a competitive IMSA tire changer. I feel like I could do a practice and a half and be a competitive F1 tire changer. I might be way out of line here.
I don't think so.
I train with the IndyCar guys at Penske. I think a week or two of practice, I could figure out how to be a IndyCar tire changer if I had to do it to feed the family.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, AJ Rossini does a good job coming over. He did IndyCar. He came to Cup. I don't know that learning curve is that quick to be a NASCAR Cup tire changer. And I would almost do a athletic decathlon with any of those guys that would like to talk about it.
What sort of activities are we going to do in the decathlon?
Just tire changing.
Oh, okay.
Just let's just go.
I was going to say, everything straight, else
I will
that.
Go straight up with any other tire changer from any other series, straight up. And so people could understand just how hard Cup racing is and Cup tire changing is. So it does it doesn't, like, I wouldn't say it grinds my gears. It's just that I don't know that we do a good enough job of understanding how hard that is. And now that the job has less lug nuts and you're doing,
850s.
You're doing less I would say technical work. And now it's just, you are just hauling as much ass as you can haul. And I just don't know if people understand how hard that is. And I think everybody wants to, I think it's like a motorsports in general, from short tracks to everywhere, they kind of want to like dumb down what everybody does.
Yeah.
I would, if anybody's out there and wants to take the challenge, I'll go to the F1 race in Vegas and have a tire changing competition with those guys or anywhere they want to go.
Because those guys don't have to get up and walk around the car.
I don't even want to get into the meats and potatoes of it. Let's just line up. Give me your gun. Show me how it works. Let's go. Yep. I'll give you my gun. I'll show you how it works. Let's go. And we'll see. Where everybody shakes
line
out.
Line it up. We have beef.
It's not really beef, but it's ground beef. I got ground beef here.
Let's fry it up.
So, yeah.
Holla at us. We have a pit off, if you will. Yeah. All right. Let's land this bird. First off, we are doing a live Stacking Pennies on Saturday, which you're not going to be there. You're going to be a Bum Gray.
I'm going to be a Bum Gray.
Yeah. I guess I'm going to have to be Stephen Colbert just monologuing, getting involved in the nitty-gritty on the boulevard with the fans. Saturday at 2 o'clock in between the ARCA race and the Xfinity race. I'm sure I'll drag a buddy or two up there to have some fun, talk about the weekend. Maybe I'll just drag you up there. If you're there, maybe I'll just drag you up there, have a fan's point of view. Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm sure Jeff would not like that, but we'll talk about that after the show. So check that out. We're having a live show in Talladega. Also, make sure you share, rate, review all the things on our audio platforms, but we recommend you go scope us out on YouTube as well. They are doing a great job with video clips, as we continue to mention. And guys, don't miss out on Thursday, the entire 45-minute episode with Bubba Wallace is going to be really good. So that's all I got.
Yeah, we got in the trenches pretty good with Bubba and hit some good stuff. And there's some good stuff there.
The old bleeper got a workout.
Yeah, we were cussing
several beeps in that one.
Yep.
We didn't really turn that knob very much. Eric Amarola, we made it up for it in the Bubba Wallace.
It's a much different interview than we had with Eric Amarola.
It was, and I think, I hope you enjoyed Eric Amarola's. Got a lot of great feedback from that.
Lot of good feedback from this weekend on that.
Yeah.
Even guys on Pit Road that pit for him, they were like, man, we really enjoyed that.
Yeah, Eric's a stud. Bubba's a stud. And check him out on Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. And thanks for Stacking Pennies. Talk to y'all next week. Goodbye.